We will now look at COBIT, that is Control Objectives for Information and Related Technology. Now, just like ITIL V4, COBIT is also one of the enablers for the implementation of ISMS. So let's look into COBIT. So COBIT is a framework that focuses on the governance and management of information technology within an organization. It's not a standard with strict regulations or requirements, but rather a set of guidelines or best practices that help organizations to achieve their IT-related goals while managing the risks effectively. So unlike maybe a ISO or any other standard, this is not a standard but more as guiding principles, right? COBIT 2019 is the latest version, which offers a comprehensive set of the best practices. Now, because it's not a standard, it's more of guiding principles, set of best practices, control objectives for various IT domains. And we saw in the previous discussion that ISMS is the overall approach to making sure that IT strategy is aligned with the business strategy. How ITSM along with the guiding principles enable the businesses to earn higher market share, thereby boosting customer confidence. So ITSM is the overall approach to managing IT services. And as we saw and we spoke, COBIT offers one of the foundations or the foundational techniques for good IT governance, risk management, which supports ITSM, right? So ITIL, COBIT, again, just to reiterate, not a standard by itself, but offers more as a guiding light, design principles, the supporting framework to provide good governance and implementation of ITSM. While ITIL is a specific framework within ITSM, which offers a detailed roadmap towards implementing effective service management, organizations generally use a combination of these frameworks to establish more robust IT service frameworks, IT service management practices that define and support the business objectives. So ITIL along with COBIT might be used to offer effective guiding principles to implement more effective and tighter principles governing ITSM. So which are some of the key aspects of COBIT? So let's look a deep dive into it. While we said that the focus remains on governance and management, COBIT emphasizes aligning IT with the overall business objectives, thereby ensuring effective control of IT resources. So like we spoke, IT and the IT strategy has to be aligned with the business objectives so as to get the maximum benefit out of an organization. So COBIT helps to establish these governing principles. COBIT also puts a lot of focus on process-oriented approach. So it outlines various processes for key functions of IT, including things like planning, security, service delivery, and user experience. Risk management. So COBIT promotes identifying and mitigating risks associated with IT, thereby ensuring better governance, ensuring information security, data protection, and with a view on the control objectives. So the frameworks outline a set of control objectives for different IT domains, so including different objectives from, say, security. So what should be the guiding principles around security? Things like periodic maintenance of the IT systems, periodic patching of the servers and the other devices, ensuring that the latest updates or the security patches are applied in all the infrastructure. So that's part of the security framework. While a view on the resource management would be that the resources are trained as far as the internal training programs are concerned, they are certified, they have better awareness about the different internal IT programs, procedures, things like awareness about different data policy, data segregation, data classification, etc. The objectives provide guidance on what needs to be controlled within every domain. So clearly, a set of guiding principles, say for example, for resource training versus different set of principles for security domain, different guiding principles to ensure a proper cyber security in place, a compliance cell in place. So these are more of internal control objectives that COBIT encourages. So which are some of the core underlying principles of COBIT 2019? So COBIT 2019 highlights six core principles that organizations should follow for effective IT governance. So let us look at those. So first is to meet stakeholder needs. So this principle emphasizes understanding and addressing the needs of all the stakeholders. For example, the needs of the IT users might be different from the management. For example, the management would want to have guidance on, say, the revenue numbers. So how should IT be aligned to meet those business objectives? Maybe a 10% growth in revenue and a 10% growth in profitability is, say, a guiding principle set by the top management. So what are the steps that, say, the internal employees should take, backed by IT decisions, so as to foster a behavior that helps to meet the objectives set by the management. So hence, the point here is that although the emphasis is on the higher level organizational needs, the needs of different stakeholders might be different, and COBIT helps to address those. Second is to cover the enterprise end to end, right? So effective IT governance considers the entire IT landscape, from some of the strategic objectives to more transactional objectives, strategic planning to service delivery and ongoing support. Apply a single integrated framework. So it promotes using a unified framework to ensure consistency and alignment across all IT governance activities. Fourth is to enable a holistic approach. So this principle encourages considering all relevant factors like business goal, risk, resource utilization, application of best technologies, etc. when making IT decisions. The fifth and the most critical is to separate governance from management. So while governance sets the direction and establishes controls, management executes the strategies and operates the IT processes. So while one is more transactional in nature, the other is more strategic in nature. Be dynamically governed. So the IT governance system should be adaptable to the continually improved to respond to changing business needs and technology. So depending upon how the threat landscape is changing, depending upon how the business needs are changing, the systems have to be flexible to adapt to this. So these are the popular six guiding principles for COBIT 2019. And the Information System Audit and Control Association, or ISCA, as a developer of the COBIT framework. So some of the benefits of COBIT for an organization is improved IT governance. So establishing best or a good structured approach to managing IT and ensuring that it aligns with the cost. To enhanced risk management by identifying and mitigating IT risk, COBIT helps organization to protect their information assets. The third is to increase compliance. So while COBIT offers a good framework to deploy ITSM, the view or the underlying principle is the best practices that can help organization comply with the relevant IT related regulations and standards. Improved communication and collaboration. The framework promotes better communication between IT and business needs. It's of paramount importance that the IT and businesses are aligned so as to have the maximum out of the business. Hence, providing effective communication and collaboration is one of the key aspects that COBIT provides. Benchmarking. Now, this is an interesting facet of COBIT. So COBIT provides a framework for organizations to benchmark their IT practices against some of the best industry practices. So say if a company is operating in a particular domain, what it would do is it would want to benchmark against some of the best practices that are followed in the industry, right? So that's how you benchmark. So COBIT offers benchmarking as one of the key aspects. Let us now look at another standard, which is PCI DSS. Now, as the name suggests, payment card industry data security standard. So it's for the payment cards, for credit cards specifically. So let us look at these. PCI DSS is a set of requirements designed to ensure that companies which process, store, or transmit credit card information maintain a secure environment. Now, needless to say, because it is credit card information, important financial data, it has to be dealt with utmost care, and systems have to be really secure, stable, state of the art against the new age cyber security crimes that happen. This has to be a secure environment. It is a proprietary information security standard for organizations that deal with cardholder information for the major debit card, credit card, e-wallets, ATM, or point of sale cards. Who does the PCI DSS compliance require to? So PCI DSS applies to all organizations or merchants, regardless of the size or the number of transactions, as long as they accept, transmit, or store any cardholder data. So in short, any merchant, any vendor that deals with a credit card information or a debit card, PCI DSS compliance requirements apply there. So you look at any payment gateways, e-wallets, you would see a small text written in green and blue saying that PCI DSS compliant, right? So that's and this is basically a standard which needs to be adhered to by the information systems. How secure should be the credit card information? Remember, I spoke about things like masking of credit card numbers. So when this information is sent for, say, things like regulatory reporting or any other data modeling activities, again, the details around credit card information has to be masked. So this is one of the areas which is talked about in PCI DSS. Other area would be things like encryption, cryptography, etc. So PCI in itself is not a law again. So it's a standard. So it's a it this was a standard created by major credit card brands. So you look at Visa, MasterCard, Amex. So these are standards created by these, but now it is applied for virtually all financial transactions involving POS machines, credit cards, debit cards, e-wallets, etc. The PCI Security Standard Council, the PCI SSC, is an independent body that is responsible for managing and evolving the standards of PCI DSS. So you get this right. Even PCI DSS as a standard gets updated. So like we saw in the case of ITIL or any other standard, even the PCI DSS gets updated from time to time. PCI DSS is a crucial framework for protecting sensitive credit card information. In today's digital world, where every transaction is virtually online, many transactions are via the marketplace. Ensuring security of the credit card holder or the card holder is supremely essential. Breaches can have devastating consequences both on the business as well as the customer. As we saw, it could lead to financial losses, it could lead to reputational losses, and so on. So PCI DSS provides a set of requirements that organizations must follow to safeguard this sensitive information. It applies to all organizations that accept, transmit, or store cardholder data, regardless of the size, regardless of the number of transactions. So we spoke about it. Even if there is one transaction in the system still has to be PCI DSS compliant. So what are some of the key requirements when it comes to PCI DSS? So the first is to build and maintain a secure network. So network includes things like firewall, things like encryption. So we spoke about encryption in motion, that is encryption in transit and encryption at rest. What kind of encryption algorithms to be used? So is it AES, Advanced Encryption Standards, AES 128-bit encryption, 256-bit encryption, and so on. And secure communication, secure configurations. So these are some of the standards when it comes to network. Then how do you protect the cardholder data? So through strong encryption, encryption in motion, encryption at rest, we spoke about it. Maintain a vulnerability program. So regularly identify, assess, and remediate vulnerabilities in the system. So setting up vulnerability scanners, doing penetration testing, defining a frequency of this VAPT. So vulnerability assessment and penetration testing is something which is well known in the industry. So this looks at first identifying, then measure, mitigate, and then operate. It also talks about implementation of strong access control systems. So restrict the use of access to cardholder data. First is you operate on the principle of deny all. And then you also apply the principle of least privilege. So only on a need to know basis the access is granted, so that the customer's data is secure. Regularly monitoring and testing the networks. So monitoring for suspicious activities. So setting up vulnerability scanners, which would monitor the threat landscape, and conduct penetration testing to identify the vulnerabilities. So penetration testing is an important tool where you would say on a particular application, try to find out vulnerabilities in that application. So do a thorough penetration testing, and a pen test is something that is done by vendors. So the outcome of the penetration testing is a list of vulnerabilities. Now, with this list of vulnerabilities comes the next step, is to plug in those vulnerabilities with the right patching mechanism. Next is to maintain a information security policy. So generally organizations would have a well documented security policy. There are some kind of security and governance manuals which have all the laid down procedures and rules, and these are documented policies in place for handling customer data. What happens in case of incident management, what happens in case of problem management, change management, handling data classification, etc., etc. So that gets documented in a well-defined manual called as the security manual. So that's what is said, is that the PCI DSS says that you should have, organization should have and maintain a information security policy which is well documented. PCI DSS, the latest version is version 4. Which was released in March 2024, so quite recent. And the latest three standards include, first, the focus on customization. So V.4 introduced a customized approach, allowing organizations to propose alternate security measures that achieve equivalent or better security outcomes than the standard requirements. Focus on the outcomes. The emphasis shifts from strict adherence to specific controls to achieving defined security objectives. Cloud security. Now, this is a quite crucial topic when it comes to V4.0. While in the earlier avatar, you had PCI DSS standard getting applied only to internal systems which were there on-premise, but with the advent of cloud, the payment systems have now been deployed even on the public clouds or private clouds. Hence, the cloud security forms a important part in version 4 of PCI DSS, which explicitly addresses the cloud technologies and the security frameworks around the cloud. So things like web application firewall, DDoS, that is distributed denial of service attack, obviously things like the basic hygiene factors like policy, like firewall, next generation firewalls, IPS, IDS, anti-malware protection, security groups, network ACLs, etc. So those form part of the cloud security. Encryption requirements. So disk level encryption for cardholder data is no longer an option for non-removable media. So hashing is required for data protection. So hashing or masking of data. So if there's a credit card information which is a 16-digit credit card number, the way it is stored in the systems is that it has to be masked or hashed, so that maybe only the last four digits of the particular number are visible, while everything else is masked. So yeah, so PCI DSS, as you said, it's a standard for the payment card industry. It has to be adhered to by every organization, no matter the size of the volume, that is the number of transactions, or the value of the transaction. But even if there is one single transaction, the PCI DSS standard has to be followed. Let us now look at the quality management system, the ISO 9001. So like the previous standard, so ISO is a series of standards developed and published by the International Organization for Standards, that is the ISO, which define, establish and maintain an effective quality assurance system for manufacturing as well as servicing industry. So you look at ISO and it should immediately ring a bell saying that ISO stands for standards, quality for manufacturing and service industries. So ISO 9000 specifically, it deals with the fundamentals of quality management systems, including 8 management principles of which the standard is based on. ISO 9001 deals with the requirements that organizations must fulfill to meet these standards. Third-party certifying bodies provide independent confirmations that organizations meet the requirement of ISO 9001. So it's not that you as an organization declare saying that, okay, I adhere to 9001 guidelines. So there is an independent audit that happens by a certifying authority, and they will then attest saying that, okay, your organization is compliant with ISO. Similarly, in the case of say ISO 27001, 27017, 18, etc. So because these are to do with quality audits, there are certifying authorities that attest saying that the organizations meet the relevant quality standards. Over 1 million organizations worldwide are independently certified, making ISO one of the best known and most widely used management tools. ISO 9001:2015 is currently the latest published version of ISO 9001. Now, ISO as a standard has many different flavors, but the point here to note is ISO 9001 is to do with QMS, that is the quality management systems. The reasons for such high adoption of ISO 9001 include purchasers require that their suppliers are ISO 9001 certified. So in a manufacturing domain where there are a number of buyers and sellers, generally this is a key requirement for buyers to be ISO 9001 certified, and even suppliers so to be certified. Now this is because the standard deals itself with quality, right? And for an organization, for a manufacturing organization, quality control and quality checks are something this is really important. Hence the criteria that suppliers have to be ISO 9001 certified. Significant financial benefits for organization to be ISO 9001 certified. What could this be? Better confidence, better assurance that the end products will be quality certified. And it may be used as a technique saying that, oh, we are quality certified, we assure you of the best product. That could be used as a benchmarking technique in the market. Higher return on investment as compared to other otherwise similar organization without certification. So stakeholders rewarded for investment in the ISO 9001 system. This leads to better operational performance. So be it on the shop floor, be it on the quality management, it can lead to overall better operational performance. And specifically in manufacturing companies, improvements are seen in the overall cycle time reduction. So the time it takes to say come up with a finished good, inventory reductions after ISO certifications. So what kind of inventory levels to keep, what is the WIP, that is work in progress inventory, as compared to the finished goods inventory. So these again form a part of the ISO certification. So what it has been observed is that a lot of improvements as far as the inventory management is concerned, or the overall cycle time reduction is concerned, which gives better operational efficiencies in manufacturing companies specifically. Internal processes improvements in organization lead to externally observable improvements. Because if you have internal process improvements around, say, quality checks or inventory management, etc., it would then translate to better product life cycle, time to replenish, etc. Increased trade and market share. So as I said, this could be a tacit game changer. Higher customer satisfaction, because the product is developed with quality, having all the quality checks in place, it could lead to higher customer satisfaction and thereby higher business. Better inter-departmental communication. So if there is a set of guidelines which every department has to adhere to, it leads to better internal functioning. So what are the guiding principles when it comes to ISO 9001? Right. So there are 8 principles of ISO 9001 which form the core foundation of the quality management systems. So these principles guide the organization in establishing a culture of quality that focuses on customer satisfaction and continuous improvement. So what are these principles? The first is the customer focus. This principle emphasizes understanding the customer needs and expectations. So from the manufacturing organization perspective, the customer has to be kept at the center, and all the policies, the quality management systems have to be designed with a view of keeping the customer in the focus, ensuring that the product that the customer is getting is made with the right amount of is of the best quality, has the best safety standards, etc. So the customer is at the helm of everything. The second is the leadership. So strong leadership commitment is crucial for establishing a quality culture within the organization. Leaders could be from top to bottom, actively promoting quality objectives, providing quality resources, and setting up a positive example for continual improvement. The third guiding principle in ISO 9001 is engagement of people. This principle recognizes that a competent, empowered, and engaged employees are essential for achieving the overall quality objectives. Organizations should invest time in training, developing, creating awareness, and thereby setting up clear communication to ensure that employees understand their role in quality management. It's not a single person's job to ensure that the quality of the goods is maintained, but it's a role of the entire organization to ensure that quality standards are maintained. The fourth is the process approach. So effective QMS focus on identifying, managing, and improving key processes that deliver products and services. The fifth is continual improvement. So needless to say, continuous improvement is a core principle of ISO 9001. Organizations strive to continually improve the effectiveness of the QMS, be it the time to come up with a finished good, inventories, fetching of raw materials, etc., etc. So this is a continual process, and every organization tries constantly to improve this process. And the last is evidence-based decision-making. Now, this is, I think, one of the most crucial steps of ISO 9001. With the advent of artificial intelligence and data analysis, the focus on factual information to guide decision-making has had a huge impact on quality management systems. Organizations now collect information, analyze this information, feed it to modelers, and then come up with tools to know the effectiveness of the controls, and thereby giving them an edge to take decisions which are more factual in nature. So organizations should collect, analyze relevant data points to measure the performance. identify trends and then take informed decision basis the factual results for improvement. So these are the six important criteria for ISO 9001. Relationship management, so effective communication and collaboration with suppliers, external stakeholders to ensure a reliable supply chain and a focus on shared needs. Supply systems approach to management, so understand that interrelated processes form a system. So following these guidelines help organization build a robust QMS which delivers consistent quality and enhances customer satisfaction. Context of the organization. So understanding the organization's internal and external environment, including customer needs, regulatory requirements. Leadership and commitment. So management demonstrating the leadership and commitment to quality through policies and actions. Planning, that is developing a quality policy. Objectives aligned with customer requirement and business strategy. The support, so providing the necessary resources, infrastructure and training to achieve the quality objectives. Operations, so managing key processes to deliver products and services that meet the requirement. And performance evaluation, so monitoring and measuring the performance against objectives, identifying clear areas of improvement. And finally, the improvement, so take action to continually improve the effectiveness of QMS. ISO 9001 provides a framework to adapt and implement basis the specific needs. Achieving 9001 certification involves a process, audit process to verify that QMS meets the quality requirements.